Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
Bill,
we've got a little news in Tigerland today, and we'd be remiss as a Tigers podcast if we did not acknowledge the passing of one Chester Earl Lemon at the age of 70. Rest in peace, Chet.
He was a phenomenal baseball player, 16 years in the major leagues, a great Tiger, integral part of the 1984 Tigers. And I'm going to give some statistics, but it doesn't really do justice to the man. His OPS plus was 121 for his career, which is outstanding. He was so solid in center field. I mean, so solid. And I would make the argument, and this is one for the listeners to maybe weigh in. I think the 1984 Tigers might have had the best modern-day middle defense of all time. The only thing I can even think that would compare would be the 1998 Yankees. But you think about Lance Parrish, and then you've got Trammell and Whitaker, and then you've got Chet Lemon.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. He was considered one of the best defensive outfielders in the game during that stretch of time.
Absolutely. And every one of those players was either an all-star and or a gold glove winner in that period where the Tigers were so successful. And I think we'll talk about it in another pod. Had the 84 Tigers had one more run in them, and let's not talk about 87, but one more run, I think that team elevates even more so. Regardless, we're taking away from Chet Lemon. I have a memory, and then I'd like to hear yours. Mine is Game 3, 1984 World Series, the catch. And I'm chuckling about it because he being Chet, got so many accolades for this amazing catch. And if you watch it on YouTube, he totally gets turned around. Yeah. Like, he's not tracking the ball whatsoever. And that's what I think also makes him so great, is because it's also what makes us human, is that we don't have to be perfect. We are infallible. And even at our least perfect moments, we can still be excellent. And he was excellent that night. And it was a critical out for the Tigers and propelled them to, you know, finish things at home after a 1-1 series draw in San Diego. And here we are many, many years later, still talking about the 84 Tigers as our last World Series winner. So what's your favorite Chet Lemon thought?
Well, I'll tell you, as a kid, you know, you grew up with the name Chet. There aren't a lot of kids around or people around named Chet. By the time, let's see, he got traded to the Tigers in 82. So I was about 8 years old, 7 or 8 year old kid at the time. I can remember collecting baseball cards. 1981 Tops was the first year I collected, and I remember opening packs, and one day I come across this guy named Chet Lemon. Now, you got to remember, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know the players on other teams as well, especially since I hadn't been collecting cards up until this point. And I come across a White Sox player named Chet Lemon. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a guy, a Major League Baseball player with the name Chet, and he looks pretty cool. And I knew nothing about him, but I instantly became a fan just due to the name. I'm sharing the same first name, and it was such a rarity for me at the time. I'm the kid who would go to, like, our parents would go to the gas station, and I would go in. We'd go in for, you know, get a treat or something while they're paying for the gas. And I'd look on the rack of all the belt buckles or the keychains, and the kids' names are on them. And it's like Charlie and Chad. I always go in there and start hunting down Chet, and they never made Chet. They never made a Chet keychain. They never made a Chet belt buckle. They never made a, you know, I'd have them like custom made. I think my parents got me things for my birthday that said Chet on. It was like some poor soul painted this stuff on there. Probably my parents to make me feel better. But it, you never saw any of the manufactured studies. So your name becomes one of these things where if you hear of anybody that has your name, you go, when you have a name like Chet, you go kind of crazy for it. So, and the only other guy that had the name Chet was a guy in the Hardy Boy books. My friends and I used to read the Hardy Boy books, and there was a Chet in the Hardy Boys books. And of course, he was like the fat guy who ate too much. So I got mocked for that. So you get this cool baseball player, and I would trade for every Chet Lemon card. I would trade like Tim Raines rookies, Ricky Henderson rookies, like these cards I should never have been trading for, these Chet Lemon cards that nobody wanted other than me. And about 1981 or 82 comes by, best friend runs across the street. It's like, hey, bad news, but I think you're going to kind of like it in a way. He's like, the Tigers traded Steve Kemp. Now, Steve Kemp was one of my favorite Tigers at the time.
Steve Kemp was one of everybody's favorite Tigers
right?
at the time.
He had the salad. He had everything going on, the hair sticking out of the hat. He hit home runs. He was just a great player. And I remember looking at my friend, I'm like, they traded Steve Kemp? I'm like, how do you trade Steve Kemp? I mean, the next worst thing would have been like Lance Parrish or Kirk Gibson, right? And he turns around and he goes, but they traded him for Chet Lemon, your guy. And I almost passed out. I mean, you want to talk about a kid on cloud nine. Chet Lemon was coming to my team. I couldn't even believe it. I was like, is it April Fool's Day? Are you pulling one over? Nope. I had to go confirm with my dad. I'm like, Dad, did the Tigers trade for Chet Lemon? He's like, yes. I couldn't believe it. So that was like the first trade news I ever got in my life where I think I was over the moon excited and couldn't wait to watch the next game. I mean, I used to make Tigers White Sox games like must watch TV on the weekend because I knew I was going to get to see Chet Lemon play. Now he's going to play for the Tigers every day. So I was super psyched about it, very thrilled. And of course, he ended up being great. And I didn't even know it. He was an all-star twice with the White Sox at the end of the 70s. And then an all-star again with the Tigers in 84. And I couldn't believe when I started looking over some of his stats, like you were saying earlier, I mean, he was a really good ball player. And I thought it was very touching last year. They did the reunion for the 84 team. And of course, it was like August 31st. We're in that incredible comeback stretch run that's just starting to really catch some mojo at that point. And they do this 1984 reunion and they get Chet there. And he is obviously shades of himself. He's wheelchair bound. He can't talk. But he was smiling. He looked like he was having the time of his life. Come to find out, the guy was in the hospital 300 times over the last 30 years, which is, that's an insane number. I read that today in the Free Press. He had a myriad of health issues and he went out happy. I think he went out happy, though. He looked pretty damn happy that day at the reunion. So I'm glad we got to see one last look at Chet last year during the stretch run. And I would just say, you know, one of my Tiger heroes passed away today. So hats off to Chet and his career and the man he became. He coached a couple state championship high school teams, coached at the collegiate level, I believe, for a while. And he had like some little league teams, some AAU teams that were extremely successful, too. I think Zach Greinke and somebody else was a part of his AAU programs down in Florida. So hats off to Chet.
Two quotes and yeah. Then one more, and then we will move on to updated and, you know, current Tiger stuff. He gave a lot to the game because he always said the game gave a lot to him, which okay. I think is just a mantra for life. His wife also said that that Tigers reunion probably extended his life up until this point. And then the last thing is, most unique feature outside of being so excellent at both sides, or, you know, I guess, let's say he was certainly a four-tool player, borderline five, he had one of the smallest mitts you would ever see.
And it was so well-worn.
Yes. And so...
remember how floppy it was? I mean, it was like just a... oh.
I've got a bid on...
beautiful piece of leather.
A bid on one right now. So we'll see if it prophesizes, but I don't think I'm going to come even close. That being said, let's get into the Tigers.
Let's do it.
Basically, they're 1 mile above sea level right now.
Yeah.
And we left the last pod saying that, I still can't get over this, Javier in the thin air.
Javier in the thin air.
And Javier in the thin air is agreeing with Javier.
Javier is hitting pitches no bat should ever touch, which is amazing.
And Javier Baez. He is no longer I'm going all in on this bit.
Do it.
So the Tigers played yesterday. They were rained out the previous day, which would have been Tuesday. Monday was an off day. They won 8-6 in 10 innings. I'll give you the quick recap as I see it. Please fill in the gaps. Obviously, you don't want to go into a series when it's the last three games on your biggest West Coast, or if you would, travel road trip, going extra innings and having to use the bullpen as much as they did.
Sure.
That being said, the bullpen was phenomenal. Our guy, my guy, Javier Baez, was fantastic. A couple notes. Trey Sweeney has now had 9 hits in the last three games.
It's a beautiful thing.
I love it. Love it. So all of a sudden now third base is the issue, not center field, not shortstop. Let's talk about Jackson Jobe a little bit, I guess, if we wanted to go to the less than positives. His control wasn't awesome. And you and I debated, or, you know, kind of went back and forth on this a little bit. He threw a lot of balls and his slider was completely hittable, gave up a couple dingers. It just wasn't a great outing, especially from the elite level that we've come to expect from the Tigers starting pitching. Fortunately, the bullpen was lights out and got us out of it. Here's the weird thing. The Tigers scored 8 runs in that game, and they didn't hit a single home run.
Yeah.
In the ballpark that is home run friendly because of the thin air as anything in baseball. The other thing I wanted to talk about from that game was Jack White was playing last night in Denver.
He was playing tonight, actually. Last night he didn't have a show.
Oh, he didn't have a show? Oh, yeah. I saw he was playing 2 shows. Okay, sorry.
He was playing tonight. Yeah, so he had a little time last night to show up at the ballpark.
Well, he says he listens daily.
I know.
And I had no idea. I knew he was a Tigers fan. I knew he was a Detroit guy. He's given a lot back to the Detroit community. He's given a lot back to the musical community. You know what, Cubs fans? You can suck it and have your Eddie Vedder. I'll take my Jack White and the old English D any day of the week. So that's it. He was well-spoken, well-educated, and he's our guy. He's my guy. So
I still love Eddie Vedder, but
I love Eddie Vedder
very
as well.
Much so enjoy listening to Jack White talk last night about the Tigers and music business, everything else that Benetti and Dierks got out of him. Dierks looked like a petrified child sitting next to him, actually. He was as starstruck as he said he was.
Yes, he was extremely starstruck. Actually, Daniela Bruce was the one that broke the ice on that and finally got Jack talking to Andy, which was fantastic. Those three might be the best.
They're great. Aren't they a great trifecta there?
They're pretty good. They work so well together.
Yeah.
Love Peaches coming in, Dan Petrie, for those that...
for a nice break every once in a while.
But that being said, Tigers broadcast is working with magic with those three.
That is.
So anyway, Jack White, welcome. We hope that you will join the pod at some point and start listening. A couple facts. 9 Tigers have seen at least 4 pitches or more per plate appearance, which leads the major leagues. So when we talk about the Tigers being the best team record-wise in the American League right now, I think that's one of the understated things that is going forward on that. In addition, they've gone first to third 30 times as of last night, which is the most in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
which is, again, one of those, you know, just small little nuances that wins you ball games, especially when you can score 10 runs in Coors Field or 8 runs or 6 runs and not hit a home run. You know, the last thing I wanted to say was, if our listeners and you, Chet, tuned into the dimensions of Comerica, which is a large park. It has always been considered a pitcher's park. And they showed the overlay, Dierks and Benetti, of the dimensions is a massive, massive facility. I've been there a dozen times, and I had no concept
of— The outfield is a pasture.
It's massive. Literally, you could raise cattle there to feed the fans for the year.
They were saying last night, every ball in a gap looks like it could drop no matter how high or how much it hangs up. It's like, you just don't know until the outfielder either gets over there or doesn't. I'm not going to lie to you. I have no love for Coors Field. I am not 100% sure that team should be in Colorado. I don't know. I'm torn on it.
Did you see my notes on this? Because I had the same question mark written, but I swear I didn't update the notes and send it to you.
No, I didn't see any notes.
Okay, because I'm
text
at the same point.
Said, let's talk about Coors Field or something. Should we have a team there? And I was like, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you did see
and
it.
And that's
something
you get. Like, fine, Denver, you should get your baseball. I'm not saying we can't have the team. I'm just saying it's such a different game. I mean, they were showing Jobe's slider yesterday in the break.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
On his slider, he couldn't get it to break. And they were saying his slider over the year averages this much break. In Coors Field, it's 3 inches less on the vertical and 4 inches less on the horizontal in break all night long. Like, I doubt that it was him just off throwing his slider at that point when you're averaging that much less break due to the thin air. And they were showing you that you have to start it at a different place over the plate to get it to break as much as you want it to.
So when we get a sponsor,
curious to know how slider pitchers do overall in that ballpark.
So when we get a sponsor, is that one of the things they will sponsor, is the XY axis that we can showcase this?
We could showcase the Coors Field slider break on an XY axis for them.
No, that is something I'll check in on. Sliders thrown at Coors Field.
Yeah.
We've always known it's a pitcher's nightmare. And it's one of those. The other thing I was going to say, of the newer ballparks, and what I mean by that is Camden Yards to now. That's what I would consider the BCAD of ballparks.
Okay.
I think that's fair, right?
Yeah.
It's starting to show its age. That whole outfield pasture with like the bubbling brook and, I don't know, the trees and shrubs and all that.
Yeah.
It looks very Anaheim, and it doesn't look very today's baseball. So anyhow, anything else you'd like to add on game one before we move to today's game?
That's really about it. I just got a kick out of the two. Javier, I'm doing Baez. I can't do the Baez thing. I got a kick out of the two Javier Baez hits. He literally, those balls would have hit the batter in the left-handed batter's box. He reaches out and hits him off the end of the pin there, right up the middle. And I was like, Javi, don't swing. Oh, he got it. Like, I couldn't believe. I said, don't swing it. Oh, how did you get out there and get that pitch? Like last year, he was missing him. And he still does swing at sliders that would hit the left-handed batter, you know, in the hip occasionally. I saw him, I think, do it last night once. And I was like, yeah, that one was a little too far. And I think he missed it by a good foot. But it was amazing watching him get those two very clutch hits at that point in the game. They kept us in it. They kept scoring runs. And the whole time I was sitting there thinking, oh, gosh, we're gonna drop a game to this sad sack organization right now that has 6 wins or whatever. So they didn't. They ended up pulling it off. They scored 8 runs, no home runs, like you said. And a little preamble for you. That's kind of a trend for the rest of the series because we played game 2 already today. I know we're going to talk about that in a sec, which we should do. And game 3 is in process. How do you feel about 24 runs scored in Coors Field with no home runs?
Really, really good. And Carl?
Apparently Carl the dog likes that too.
Carl really supports that as well. Anyhow, the game one of today's doubleheader.
Yeah.
10-2 Tigers, total domination. The final score doesn't even make it look that close. Casey Mize.
That's the one thing that sticks out to me right there is Casey Mize.
We could talk about the hitting, but everybody hit today.
Everybody Sweeney's hit except hitting. Karp today. Karp had a terrible game one today. Went 0-for-5 with 3 Ks. Picked a bad day to play him in fantasy.
Okay. I'm really sorry for you and your fantasy team.
Yeah.
And again, no home runs. And they're scoring runs in bunches. So happy for Trey Sweeney. So happy for our guy, Jahan had a great day today.
Torque had 2 hits in that game. I started looking at Torque's average in game one, and I was like, oh boy, it's creeping down there. He was getting into the high 220s. He got 2 more hits. He got a hit on the – he got the game, pretty much the go-ahead hit in extra innings or in – was it extra innings yesterday? Yeah, he got the go-ahead hit that got us on the board in extra innings. And then he's got 2 more today. So he's probably – you know, his average may not look great. It's up to 241 now. But he's had a lot of key hits, and his OPS is 890 almost here. So we're doing okay.
And can I give you one more stat on that?
Yeah.
He has 31 RBIs, which is second in the American League.
He's hitting when he needs to hit is what he's doing.
He's doing everything we could possibly ask of him. Yep. Ignore the average.
Yeah.
Focus on the OPS plus. Focus on the RBIs, and let's go from there.
Exactly.
Another thing, Torres is continuing on a – and I'm going to alliterate on this – a torrid pace for Torres. That being said – yeah. Just real quick, MLB ranks for Tigers offense, batting average, 8th. No big deal. OPS, 6.
Yeah.
Home run, 6.
Yeah.
Which kind of tells you that they hit when they need to, and they're doing a much better job with runners in scoring position.
Situational hitting, and I think that's something they've kind of concentrated on being better at this season. So
absolutely.
It's very, there you are, situational hitting. We need to touch a little more on Casey Mize.
Yeah, I was going to come back to him.
We need to
please.
Flip back him. We blew over his kudos he got there. He went 6, 3 hits and a run, 8 Ks at Coors Field. Here's a guy that has been toiling up until this year, and he's really putting it together at the start of the season. And then he goes into a challenging game of Coors against a lesser opponent. But nonetheless, you can't expect more from your starting pitcher at this point. And we only use Gunther and Lee out of the pen. So, and Lee chewed up 2 innings. So we conserved the pen pretty well in that game for a Coors game.
Absolutely. And after last night, what was needed was exactly what Casey Mize delivered. And thus far, I would say he's been our best starting pitcher through 6 weeks of the season.
I think, you know, we're going to talk about it at the end here about what to do about Scooble, because there's been a lot of talk lately about what do you do with Scooble? Do you re-sign Scooble? Do you try to sign him to one of these monster deals?
Mm.
It's a big deal. It's a big one they're talking about here. But you know what? Casey Mize is due up in the same year.
I know. And
so
I just
read a little bit of a quagmire here. What do you
nice
do there?
Utilization of.
I mean, I'm not trying to combine the two of them and their history and their work so far, their body of work so far. Obviously, Scooble has blown leagues past Mize. So I'm not trying to say like, oh, you can't sign Scooble because you got to sign Mize. I'm just saying if Mize keeps going on this trajectory this year and next, then you've got to start thinking about who's going to get the money. And if Mize continues doing what he's done for the last month and a half, let's just say this, for the rest of this season, and puts in at least a close to a similar effort, comes out and does the same thing next year, he's going to command a ton of money too when the time comes.
I just saw a Jeff Passan article.
Yeah, that's the one I'm referring to.
Yeah, that talked about who could be due for 100 million plus contracts.
Yeah.
And they were both on the list. So we're saying
back.
The same thing. Let's circle back.
I
want
to talk a little about the game three that's going on right now. I think we gave game two its due.
Yeah. I've got a really fun.
Yeah.
I did some research. So you talk about game three, and then I'll talk about my fun research on why position players can no longer automatically pitch in a game.
So game three, we're up 6-1. So the top of the fourth at the moment. So we're mid-game right now in the recording of this pod. Tanner Gordon. Who is that? Is that Clark? What's his name?
Carl.
Carl loves this right now, by the way. He loves the fact that we're talking Tigers and the Tigers are winning. Keiter Montero's on the bump. Love it. Four hits, a run. He's into the fourth inning. No strikeouts, three walks. I mean, you don't want to put guys on base in Colorado. That's not a great deal. Tanner Gordon, on the other hand, has gone three innings. He's given up eight hits and six runs to us. So he's getting lit up. Second game of a doubleheader. They're obviously throwing Montero out there. I think they're buying somebody an extra day in the rotation. And lo and behold, Torque is 2-for-2 right now. Batting average is up to .252. He looks respectable again in that column. And he's doing Torque things. He's got a double. He's got an RBI. Even Jace Jung's got a hit today. Dingler's got it. Everybody's got a hit except Riley and Colt Keith so far. So, and Colt has had a good game yesterday. So he may be finding his way back. Like to see him get another hit today. Glaber's got a hit. Kerry Carpenter got on the board with a hit. Probably got sick of his three strikeouts and an 0-for-5 in the first game today. At any rate, they're looking like they're cruising again, which they should be doing against this team in this ballpark, but no home runs. 24 runs scored so far in 2.5 games, and we don't have a home run. That's got to be some sort of weird record, of course.
Exactly.
I don't know that we can figure that out, but that's a crazy statistic. That's about what I've got for you right now as an update on that game. Let's flip back over to our news and notes. If anything crazy happens in the meantime, I'll let you know.
So in 2023, let me circle back real quick.
Yeah.
You and I were at a Cubs game in 1998.
Okay.
It's the Padres.
Yep.
When the Cubs bullpen had been exhausted.
Yeah.
And the Cubs were in the thick of trying to win.
Sure.
And get to the playoffs. There's a wild card.
Who did they bring out?
Gary Gaetti.
Off of third base to throw
a couple innings. And you and I had the time of our life watching that.
At a blowout.
Because he threw
the
windup. I mean, it wasn't even a stretch. It was like throwing soft toss with your children. Anyway, so Benetti and Dierks have been talking about this, and I've been trying to figure out why position players don't pitch as much anymore. In 2023, Major League Baseball made a rule that you have to be down 8 or more runs to bring someone in.
Okay. Understandable to a degree.
It could be 6 runs depending on when it is. So I think today might be one of those exceptions. But here's the key point that I looked up. When the first time that someone was supposed to be subbed and refused was July 22nd, 1884, manager Frank Bancroft of the Providence Grays wanted to relieve Charlie Sweeney after 7 innings because Charlie Sweeney apparently was hammered on the mound.
That's a whole different set of circumstances.
And at the time, this could only be done by asking Sweeney to switch positions with right fielder.
Excuse me, my pitcher's too drunk to pitch. Somebody's going to need to come in for him.
Hold on. The story gets better. With right fielder, and I kid you not,
Baseball was different back then.
Cyclone Miller.
Cyclone.
Come on. That's Cyclone, incredible. You got to come in for old Charlie.
Miller. Was probably a little touched up himself.
Yeah. Charlie's been hitting the sauce between innings and getting roughed up on the mound.
Gosh, that's great.
So hold on. The conclusion is that Sweeney refused and walked off the field and never pitched again for Providence.
That's fantastic. I'm quitting. You're firing me because I was drunk on the job and I'm quitting. That's what baseball, I mean, you know. Those guys probably didn't pitch because they had blisters or something. They probably pitched with blisters and everything.
He was probably hungover from the night before, did hair of the dog, and it caught up to him. Who knows?
He's trying to prep for the game that day. He's trying to bring himself back.
Charlie, we're giving you benefit of the doubt. You know, not everybody wants Cyclone to come in, you know, to replace him. So,
that's fantastic.
Anyhow,
that's
I thought great. That was a fun one.
That's lovely.
News and notes, and we'll wrap up.
So, one of the biggest topics of the week so far has been this, you know, you referenced Passan's article earlier, and he kind of went through who the big free agent signings are that are coming up, and he got to the 26-27 class, which is when Skubal will be going out into free agency, and he started talking, throwing numbers around. And Skubal's numbers, he projects him to command a $400 million deal over 10 years. He's going to get one of those. You know, a set-you-up-for-life deal. and the rest of your family from there on out. And so $40 million a year. And the overall tenor was kind of like, the Tigers aren't paying that. The Tigers can't afford that. There have been multiple pieces written in response to this number that's been thrown out there. There's some other numbers that people have thrown out around like the 180 mark and shorter term, but similar, you know, like a five-year 180 or something like that, four-year 180. Same monies, same AAV, just a different term, a length. I am not sure the Tigers are going to afford that at that point in time. The question is, the bigger question is, what do they do between now and then with Tarik Skubal? You're not going to trade him this year, okay, unless things go extremely south. As long as they're competing, I think they're going to hang on to him, and they're going to go through the contract, and they'll get nothing for him other than his pitching. And then he'll hit the open market. Boris is his agent. Boris is not going to do a deal before the time frame to hit the open market. You can offer them all you want, which they did this past offseason, and the Tigers were rebuffed. You can offer them all you want. Boris is just going to use your offers as a starting point when he gets them out into the open market. That's the goal from here. Plus, Skubal sits on the committee for the MLBPA, the Players Association. And they are supposed to set an example for stuff like this and get the best deals they possibly can. They're not going to give any breaks. So this situation, I think Tigers fans are going to have to warm to the fact that we have Tarik Skubal for two more years, and he's going to end up in LA, Philadelphia, New York, one of those, on a massive deal if he keeps going on this trajectory. And really all he has to do is cash in probably this year and do something decent next year to get a high number that the Tigers won't be able to afford.
Can I ask you
thoughts?
Yeah, well, I have more questions than thoughts. Yeah. I agree with everything you just stated. And the X factor, and well, there's two X factors. Obviously, Scott Boras being his agent is not good news. The other part that he is part of
the MLBPA, yeah.
He's a player representative.
Yeah, he sits on like a committee chair or something, too.
And that's so a voted there, on right? position. So yeah. The chances of him remaining a Tiger are slim unless they pay him through the roof.
Yes.
That being said, what do you want the Tigers to do in this situation?
You can't. I want them to trade him next year so they get something for him. Unless we are in the heat of the race, then just keep him, let him play it out. I mean, if you're in first place, you can't trade your ace. If you're in second place trying to get to first place, you can't trade your ace. If we're in third place, things look a little dismal next year, maybe we don't have it, then you got to get something for them. And to be honest, next year, the teams know. They're just trying to get the offers aren't going to be as good because teams are just renting them for a couple months, renting them for a stretch run. You trade them away this year, you get a lot more, but we're in first place and we're rolling. You're not going to trade him right now. So really, the situation at hand is they're kind of stuck. They're going to end up with him for two more seasons. It's going to be great. He's going to be gone. You hope Jackson Jobe, one of the younger guys, comes up and fills that role, that ace role. That's my
thought. You're still holding out hope for Matt Manning's return.
Matt Manning.
I said that.
It hasn't been good.
I said that with sarcasm. Anyhow, we're going to start wrapping up here, but we're foreshadowing basically what's going to be the next pod, which is going to be, is it too soon to start believing in this team? Because this is the second best start.
Not at all.
That the Tigers have had since 1984, which was the single greatest start in the history of Major League Baseball. Part two of that, their 19 wins going into the month of May is the most in a franchise record, given the 84 Tigers started a little later. Let's throw that out to the window. This team is awesome, and clearly your hosts are 100% on board with that. It is starting to be the time, though, where we start talking about maneuvers and moves and what's going to happen, both short and long term.
Yeah.
Tarik Skubal being a big piece of that. That being said,
there's a lot of guys coming up in the next couple of years.
Well, Riley Green, we've got
Cary Carpenter, Riley Green, Casey Mize, Tarik Skubal, Torkelson. Yeah. I mean, some of these guys a year ago, you'd been like, yeah, whatever, let them walk. All of a sudden, they're playing a little baseball and showing they got talent. So now it's like, what do we do here?
Well, this is going to be an XY. Again, we need that sponsor, Axis, to show that are the Tigers going to be this year's Orioles, or are they going to be, built more like the Braves or, you know, another team that has been able to draft well, develop well, yeah, and sustain it. And so we'll see what Scott Harris and AJ Hinch have in store for us. So,
and as a correction, the CD holds is on the MLB Players Association Executive Subcommittee. Mm. So that is, it's apparently one of eight players, and it's a 2-year deal. He sits on that committee.
But he had to be voted on.
It's an elevated role, yes. He gets voted in. I think that's, you know, they gave a competitive offer this past offseason, and it was very quickly shot down by Boris and Scoble. So you're not going to get, I don't think you're going to get to see him in a Tiger uniform 2 years
I don't think
from
there's
now,
a hometown
so enjoy
discount.
It while he's here.
Well, that being said, let's ride this on a high note. It's looking like we might get a
it's still 6-1 bottom of the fourth.
The thin air is working for Javier
and Kaider. He's got a strikeout now. Look at that.
All right, we'll be back with you all. Go Tigers.
See you in a couple days. Go Tigers.